morning. What a wonderful thing it is to be together, to honor our Lord and Savior, who did die to pay it all for us, so that we might have eternal redemption. Thank you for being here today to honor Him and to consider His Word for a while together. You ever heard it said that birds of a feather flock together? Probably that's one of the oldest sayings in the English language, I suppose. We went to Africa a couple of years ago, and just like in the United States, sure enough, birds of a feather flock together. This was a bunch of storks that we saw up in a tree when we were on a little safari one day. In fact, many animals like to stay with their own kind, in herds, in troops, in schools, in hives, in pods. And not only in the United States is that true, but everywhere throughout the world. And so while we were over in Africa, we saw hippopotamuses, or maybe it's hippopotami, sort of hanging together, all in one group. And we saw elephants hanging together, following each other in a straight line, in what they call a herd of elephants. We saw warthogs hanging together with one another. And we saw sable. This is a kind of antelope, somewhat rare, maybe not as common as some of the others, but we got to see a herd of sable coming down to the water to drink. Again, all of them hanging together. And we saw giraffes. These are giraffes that are hanging together and licking the dirt for the minerals in the dirt. I wasn't aware that they did this, but they're apparently trying to get the minerals out of the dirt, so they're having to stretch their legs out to lick the dirt. And then we saw, this is David and two other monkeys that were. I told him I was going to show this picture. Some monkeys kind of hang together as well, and he was with us over there. The Bible, the Scriptures, use this characteristic behavior, this herding, this flocking, to illustrate important benefits of being members of the flock of God. And it's that concept that I want to talk with you about this morning from the Scriptures. The power of the flock together. There's an awful lot that could be said about this. There's an awful lot the Bible says about this. But we are compared many times as the people of God in Scripture. We are compared many times to a flock. To a flock of sheep who, with Jesus as our shepherd, follow Him and serve Him and glorify Him. And there are really just three things that I want to talk about that are characteristic of a flock that empower us together and make the flock special and make being a part of it a very, very special thing. And the first of those things is that you get protection from the shepherd. If you think about a flock in the countryside, a literal flock of sheep, they are protected by the shepherd. Maybe a guard dog is there as well. And you might even see in our area of the country, if you see sheep, you might see a donkey or something out with them also for protection. But a dog or a donkey, and often even a shepherd, will be out with the sheep. They're very vulnerable to predators, wolves and coyotes and all sorts of different things. And that was true in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verses 34 and 35, David said to Saul, when David was but a young shepherd boy, he said, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it." What a wonderful shepherd David was, protecting his sheep, going after that lamb. You can just picture a lamb in the mouth of a lion or a bear, and David's not going to let that lion or bear have it. He goes after it, and he takes it on. And even at the risk of his own life, is willing to protect this sheep. And so in the Old Testament, you see God protecting His people and caring for His people, His sheep, like a shepherd would protect his flock. One example of this, Psalm 78 in verse 52, talking about what God did for Israel in the wilderness and freeing them from slavery. It says that He made His own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And He led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And that, no doubt, is a reference to the story of the Egyptians being drowned in the Red Sea. God wouldn't let the Egyptians harm His people anymore. He took care of those enemies. And so as his flock, he protected them, particularly when they were deserving of protection and were following him as they should. And you see that throughout the Old Testament. When we come to the New Testament, Christ is our shepherd, and he is protecting us. He cares about us. He's concerned about our welfare, and so much so that, like David did, he's willing to lay down his life to protect us from the enemy. As we sang a moment ago, he paid it all. He paid it all so that we might live, so that we might be saved, so that we might be protected from Satan. In John chapter 10, of course, there's this great chapter where Jesus describes himself and explains himself as the good shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he is not a shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know my Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." The wolf comes. Who's going to go against the wolf? Who's going to stand against Satan for us? The shepherd. The shepherd's willing to give his life for the sheep. What a wonderful thing to have protection. You know, without that shepherd, Satan would be among us just tearing us up. But because we're part of the flock of God, because the shepherd gave his life for the sheep, we have protection from Satan if we will but follow the shepherd. Part of this passage, Jesus is telling the people, "Follow me, be my disciples. Let me be your shepherd. You be my sheep." In the New Testament, in the church, we also have in local churches the protection of shepherds. So you might want to look at Acts chapter 20, where Paul is talking to the elders of the church from Ephesus. And he says in verse 28, talking to these elders, he says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." So these men, these elders, were to be shepherds of the church at Ephesus. They were to look over that flock, that local flock, like shepherds looked over a flock of sheep. And then Paul goes on and tells them in verse 29 the reason for this: "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul is telling these men, you've got to protect the flock. You've got to watch out for the wolves. The wolves can take, I suppose, different forms. Sometimes wolves can look like sheep. Jesus warned about that. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." So the elders are here to protect us from false teaching, from false doctrine. They're here to guide us in the ways of the Lord. They're here to protect our souls from attacks from Satan. Our elders here work tirelessly to do that. When those who are suffering from attacks of Satan in their lives in different ways, through temptation or problems, or whether it be health or emotional or whatever it be, they're here for you, to help you, to protect you from the wolves. What a wonderful blessing that is, to be a part of a local flock where you've got that. Paul tells these elders, you oversee the flock. You look over them. You look after them, really, is what he's saying. And so in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, we're told to obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. These men are looking out for the well-being of your souls, just like a shepherd does the sheep. They care about your well-being. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, Peter tells those elders, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. You look out for that flock. You watch out for them. What a blessing it is to have the protection of shepherds in Christ and in the local church. Another thing about being part of the flock is not only do you get the protection of the shepherd, you get the provision of the shepherd. First, going back to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 15, the passage describes David again as a shepherd, and it says about him that David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Here's a man who was anxious to do the Lord's bidding in every way of his life. He will, of course, gain great victories. And in this context that we're reading, in just a short while, he's going to kill Goliath. And after that, gain many, many more victories in the name of the Lord. Eventually, of course, he'll become the king of Israel. And the type of Christ himself, as we'll study when we get to the end of the lesson. But the thing that's amazing about David is, despite of all that he would become, of all that he longed to do in service to his Lord, he didn't forget the sheep. He'd go back home to feed those sheep. That was a responsibility. He was going to make sure they had plenty to eat. Of course, you see that. Look in the hills of North Alabama. There are not many of them, but there are places where you can see sheep even in North Alabama. And those who are tending them make sure they get feed. Well, when it transfers over to spiritual things, David himself writes in Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, that the Lord is my shepherd. And so David is a physical shepherd, but he also sees that the Lord is his shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, he says, I shall not want. That is, I'm going to have what I need. And he's not talking about eating grass. He's talking about what he needs to live spiritually. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And the metaphor there seems to have a dual meaning. Not only of rest and peace, as you can picture sheep maybe lying down peacefully in green grass and a water, a still water going close by, but also plenty to eat and drink. And so they're provided for. Their comfort is provided for. Their food, their drink is provided for. All of that, again, in a spiritual sense. God, the Lord, was the shepherd of David and the shepherd of the Israelites in the Old Testament. When we come to the New Testament, again, we see that Christ is our shepherd. There's a prophecy, actually more than one, in the Old Testament about the Messiah, the Christ, being our shepherd. You see in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, which is a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, it says that he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Jesus comes and he gives us spiritual food, plenty of spiritual food, delicious, wonderful spiritual food that keeps us going. What is that food? It is his word, which we must feed upon and feast upon as his flock. We look out sometimes and we see people in the flock who are spiritually sick because, for no other reason than they haven't been feeding like they need to feed. I thought about putting up a picture of an emaciated sheep, one that looks like it's starving to death. And you say, well, what's wrong with that sheep? Isn't the shepherd taking care of it? Well, maybe the shepherd's trying to, but maybe the sheep just won't eat. The Lord, Jesus Christ, has provided for us His Word. It's plenty to eat. It's plenty to sustain us. It's plenty to keep us strong. We need to feed upon it regularly. John chapter 10 and verse 9. Here's what Jesus says as the good shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. He also says in this context, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You'll have plenty to eat if you make the Lord your shepherd. He'll provide for you all that you need spiritually. And so it is in local churches as well. We have food to feed upon. God's Word. Look, if you will, with me in John chapter 21. Jesus has an interesting discussion with Peter. Peter, you might remember, had denied the Lord three times just prior to the Lord being crucified. He was ashamed of that. And this is later, after the Lord has been resurrected and he meets with the disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And he has this conversation with Peter. And it says in verse 15 that when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And I might remind you right here that, remember, Peter had denied him three times. And now, when Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Now it says Peter is grieved because of that third time. And I don't know 100% for sure that there's a connection, but I think that there probably is, between those three times where Peter denied the Lord, and now where the Lord is really compelling him to confess his love for him three times. Peter says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Twice in the text, in the New King James Version, then he says, "Feed my sheep," and once he says, "Tend my lambs." And what's the point of it? What's Peter supposed to do? What did the apostles do? What was their job? It was to take the word of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Peter fed the sheep by delivering what we have in the New Testament, along with the other apostles and prophets of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is the food that Peter was to feed. "Feed my sheep." That was his direction, Jesus' direction to the apostles. In the church, this is what we're doing even this morning. We're feeding on the words of the apostles. As I read to you from the Gospel of John, an apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're feeding on that word, even as we think about it this morning and discuss it. Going back to Acts chapter 20 again, let me back up in that context. We were talking about noticing Paul's instructions to these elders about watching out for wolves, protecting the flock. But if we back up in Acts chapter 20 and verse 26, notice, Paul says, "I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock." Well, Paul had been feeding the flock everything he could feed them that was good from God's word. And then he turns around and says, "You also watch out for the flock." When you get down to verse 31, he says, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." God's word is what they needed to take care of this flock, to build up the flock. "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So in the flock, we have provision of the shepherd. Let's take advantage of that. Let's study our Bibles. Let's be present in Bible classes. Let's listen carefully to sermons. Keep our Bibles and our minds open. Let's feed, as one of our songs says, let's feed on His word. What a wonderful provision we have. You know, the world has to guess about what's right and wrong. The world doesn't know what's right and wrong. The world doesn't know what's good for them. You don't have to watch television for 15 minutes to realize that the world does not know what's good for them. But Jesus knows what's good for you. Spend time feeding on His words. It's so important to get that into your heart, to make that a part of you, to let it energize you and direct you in your life. And the third thing we want to notice about the herd, the flock, if you will, is that they exist to praise the shepherd. And I don't know that I've thought about this very much before, but I want you to think about sheep that might have existed in the countryside in the Old Testament, literal sheep. You can go back to Genesis 26, verses 12 through 14. And this is a description of Isaac, one of the patriarchs. And it says that Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. He was a great man. And part of that greatness was the size, the greatness of his flocks. It was said of Job, in Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that his possessions were 7,000 sheep. He had many other things as well. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. That word greatest there is interesting. He was the greatest of all the people of the East. And part of that greatness was exhibited in what? The flocks that he had. The flocks that he possessed. Now, to my knowledge, sheep don't do a lot of very deep thinking. At least if they do, they haven't told me about it. So, I don't think sheep do a lot of very deep thinking. But if those sheep could think, if they had realized that as a flock, that they were showing the world how great their masters were, I wonder how they would have felt about it. Not too bad, huh? Not too bad. Not too bad to exist as a flock to the glory of your master. What a wonderful thing. In the old covenant then, as the Israelites were God's flock, they existed to glorify God. They existed to praise and honor Him as a flock. And this is reflected, I think, in many passages. Look at Psalm 95 and verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. But notice the flock coming together, bowing down as the sheep of His hand, giving honor and glory to the shepherd. And especially notice Psalm 79 and verse 13. Psalm 79 and verse 13. It says, so we, your people and your sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Think about that phrase. We, the flock, will show forth your praise. What are we doing here this morning? What do the sheep do? They exist to the praise of the shepherd. We are here not just because we want to see each other and we have friends here and we want some quiet time or whatever. We are here to honor our great shepherd. That's what they did in the Old Testament. That's what we do in Christ. Going back to the passage in John chapter 10, Jesus describes the situation with sheep and shepherds. And He says that he who enters by the door, John 10 and verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings them out, his own sheep, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So as we listen to Christ, as we follow Him, He and Him alone, we're honoring Him. We're showing that He is our head. We're showing that we trust Him. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. It doesn't matter what the world is telling us about how we should live, how we should go, how we should operate. Jesus is our shepherd. And we're going to honor Him by following Him, by listening to His commands. I have seen... I've lived in a couple of places where there were a lot of sheep, and as a boy, I lived in Utah for a while, and there were just I don't know how many gajillion sheep there are in Utah, but it's a big thing out there. And I can remember seeing huge flocks of sheep, led maybe by a single shepherd. Maybe he had a little shepherd dog or two with him, and to bring a whole flock of sheep, maybe hundreds and hundreds of sheep, up to a road where there was traffic. And the shepherd would, just with the word, stop. And all of these hundreds and hundreds of sheep would stop. Right there. And when the way was clear, he would speak a word, and step out onto the road
and all of the sheep would step with him and go across that river. And you think, you see things like this on National Geographic and you say, wow, that shepherd is really something. You know what shows that he's really something? The obedience of the sheep. That's what. By obeying the shepherd, we show how great he is. And so it is in the church. As we've already seen, the local church is referred to as the flock of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. The shepherds were to shepherd the flock of God that was among them. A united flock is going to glorify God. We, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Early in the New Testament, as the church just began in Acts chapter 2, all who believed were together. What they did? They flocked. All who believed were together. They were together, and they had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God and having favor with all the people. They were together, they were serving one another, they were loving one another, and as a flock, they praised God and the people. The people saw what they were. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Let me just say this then here, that if you're going to have the benefits, and we've talked about benefits of being in a local flock, what you got to do if you're going to have those benefits, you got to flock. You have to be here. You have to be a part of it. And not just sitting here, but you need to be actively involved in what's going on. You can't be passive. You got to eat the food. You got to follow the direction of the shepherds. All of this to glorify God, to glorify the chief shepherd. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't stop flocking. You know what happens when a sheep stops flocking? He strays. And he is easy prey for the wolf. That's why you need to be here. That's why we need to have association with one another outside of the assemblies. Just as is described there in Acts chapter 2. We need to love each other, care for one another, and flock together. Here's the power of the flock. As we close, I want to go to one more passage. It's found in the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 34. I'm going to start reading, although the whole chapter would be profitable in thinking about sheep and shepherds and behavior of the two. I'm going to start reading in verse 23, where you have another prophecy about Christ coming to be our shepherd. Here's what it says, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. Now, those of you who are good Bible students realize that Jesus Christ came as the root of David. He, as I said earlier, David was the type of Christ. Now, as David was king of God's people, as he was the shepherd king and the priest king of God's people in the Old Testament, so in the New Testament, Christ is the shepherd king, the priest king of God's people today. And that's what this is talking about. Christ coming as the shepherd king from the root of David. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, he is described as our shepherd and the lion of the tribe of David, or rather of the root of David. So let me go ahead and read this text back in Ezekiel. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land. And they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season, and they shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield their increase. They shall be safe in their land.
And they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men. I am God, says the Lord God. What a wonderful description of what we enjoy as part of God's flock and the power of God's flock. With Him as our shepherd, He provides for us all that we need. A wonderful garden is described here. All of the fruits, all of the blessings that we need in life, spiritual, physical, whatever we need. He takes care of us. He provides protection for us. We can lie down in safety. We know that we are in His hands at all times. He provides us leadership. He shows us the way we need to go in life. And He helps us stand strong against the onslaught of this world. Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Alexander the Great said, I'm not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. Afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion. We are that army of sheep. We are led by a lion. What a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. Be part of the flock of God. And even this morning, if you're not in that flock, oh, what you're missing out on. And even this morning, if you're not flocking with the flock like you need to, oh, what you're missing out on. Won't you make it right with God? Won't you come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say, be my shepherd, and I will follow you. We'd ask you to come while we stand, while we sing.